My guest at this time is former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra. For about two decades, he represented the 2nd Congressional District in Michigan. He is now a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in the Great Lakes State, hoping to take on Democratic incumbent Debbie Stabenow. We want to get his thoughts on the latest developments in the campaign, as well as some of the national headlines. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, great. Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things you've done recently is respond to a lot of what the president had to say in his State of the Union address. And one of the things he took credit for was what he sees as the resurrection of the auto industry, saying that GM, thanks to the actions taken by his administration, is back on top. Chrysler and Ford, even though Ford wasn't bailed out, are doing much better. 160,000 new jobs in the auto industry. He says, we bet on American workers, and they didn't let us down. Oh, what's your reaction to that? Does he deserve a lot of credit for that, or is that a little bit different in your mind?
Well, clearly, GM and Chrysler would have looked a lot different if the government had not bailed those two companies out. And they are doing much better. They're hiring lots of workers. They're producing good cars and those types of things. But what the president fails to realize and fails to recognize, he's repeating the same mistakes that got these car companies into the kind of problems that they found themselves in 2 years ago. Overregulation by the federal government. These new efficiency standards, where fleet economy is going to have to go up to 54 miles per gallon. I don't know if the car companies have the money to invest in the technology that's going to make that possible. What if we have a slowdown in the economy and profits take a hit? Get the government out of micromanaging these businesses. I was watching a focus group last night, and a woman said, bless her heart. She said, if I want to buy a gas-guzzling SUV, let me buy one, and get the government out of this. So, sure, the president deserves some credit, but it's the workers, it's the companies that have turned them around. The bottom line, the president's making the same mistakes that got these car companies in a problem in the first place. We're going to probably be facing these same kinds of issues again in the next 5 to 10 years.
Congressman, in your statement issued following the State of the Union address and in anticipation of the president's visit to Michigan as he toured a bunch of different states last week to build support for his different initiatives. You gave a lot of credit to Governor Snyder, who's been in office for about a year, and helping to lead your state out of what was a recession in Michigan a long time before it hit the nation as a whole. What has Governor Snyder done in the past 12 months that you think sets a better tone for Michigan and for America than what this president has done for the past 3 years?
Just like Jennifer Granholm led us into a recession and Obama followed the same strategies that she put in place in Michigan, I think Rick Snyder as governor is putting in a set of strategies that's bringing Michigan back, and hopefully we'll be able to do that at the federal level. What is that? Number one, he reformed the tax code. He got rid of one of the worst tax structures of any state in the country and replaced it with a flat, straight corporate business tax rather than this monstrosity that we had before. He has reduced and began to eliminate regulatory uncertainty. He's cleaning up the regulatory process, and the bureaucrats have recognized that, the governor has made it very clear. If we don't have businesses, if we don't have jobs that are paying the taxes, I'm sorry, I don't have jobs for you. We're going to have to cut state funding. The third thing that the governor has done, and she has gone through and cut state spending, I think the state ended up with a $450 million surplus at the end of 2011, and we're well on our way to getting another surplus for 2012. So on a smaller scale, he's doing exactly what we need to do at the federal level, reforming the tax code, eliminating rules and regulations, and cutting spending, and guess what? Michigan's coming back.
Congressman, when I was on vacation in Michigan last summer, there were billboards around the state, I assume paid for by organized labor and teachers unions in particular, saying that the governor was shortchanging education in this state. What's the sense of the balance with the unions in your state? I know it hasn't gotten the same national attention as Wisconsin and Ohio and some of these other states, but what was the Snyder approach there, and what's been the result?
Well, what the governor did is, as part of his belt tightening measures, what he's doing is, sure, the schools had to take part of the belt tightening. But, what we found in Michigan, if school districts are allowed to open up their health care contracts so that they can compete, put up their health care insurance and compete it in the marketplace rather than having to buy it from the teachers union, they can get better plans at lower cost if they privatize some services. So again, school districts, when they do the right thing, they can provide a more effective and a more efficient education system for our kids, you know, it, just like businesses are doing each and every day. They improve the quality of their product and they reduce the cost. It's only the teachers' unions that believe the only way you're going to get a better education is by spending more, more, more with no cap on it.
We're talking with former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra. And, Congressman, as you move forward in your campaign, and you're definitely considered the front runner for the nomination right now, as you contrast your vision for the next 6 years with that of Senator Stabenow, I know there's a lot of differences on many different policies, but what are you stressing over the next several months here to paint the strongest possible contrast with the past 12 years of her being in Washington?
Well, I think Debbie's probably never seen a government program that she's voted no against, except maybe it wasn't big enough. I mean, she voted for the stimulus package. She voted for Obamacare and all of these types of things. She's more than willing to vote for money that we don't have. I think this election is going to become all about spending. This government spends way too much money, and by the spending that we participate in, we enable bigger government, more rules and regulations. We stifle our private sector. It's all about the spending. The spending has to stop.
There's still obviously a big battle going on to be the Republican presidential nominee. Does it matter to you who's on the top of the ticket? And does it matter, do you think, down the ticket, how competitive that Republican nominee is in Michigan?
Mitt is the hometown boy. This is a guy that grew up in Michigan. I think if Mitt is the nominee, Mitt wins Michigan. And Mitt will take a new U.S. senator with him. So selfishly, for the Republican ticket, having Mitt leading the ticket for me in Michigan helps tremendously. At the same time, Newt is a good friend. Rick Santorum is a good friend. I wish these guys would kind of tone down the rhetoric, focus on the differences that they have with President Obama. We'd be much better off. I expect in January 20 of 2013 that we will swear in one of those three guys to be our next president. I'm looking forward to that day.
Our regular listeners will know that you're also a former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and getting back into the Senate would put you front and center on those issues once again as well. In the past few weeks, we've seen large proposed cuts to the military, not surprising because we knew they were coming down the pike, and certainly as a result of the failure of the super committee that they would be proposed, whether it's the military spending or other issues in terms of our foreign policy. What do you see as issues that Michigan voters care about and that you'll be able to contrast yourself with the senator on that front?
Clearly, the number one focus will be jobs and the economy. But, you know, you do have a lot of people who are very interested in the country's role in the world. You know, we can't go back and repeat the mistakes of the 1990s, where we gutted our intelligence community, which meant that on September 11, we were blind. We didn't anticipate it. We didn't expect it. And then from a military standpoint, we were totally unprepared to respond to it. We can't repeat those mistakes. We need a strong intel community. We need a strong military capability. Why? Because the threats that we face today are as significant, if not more significant, than what we potentially faced in the 90s. We've got a resurgent Russia. We've got an expanding China. We still have Al-Qaeda. We've got an Iran that's looking at going nuclear. We've got instability in Pakistan, which is a nuclear power. So, you know, the threats are as great, if not greater, than what we faced in the 90s. Let's not leave the cupboard bare in terms of intelligence and defense, or we will pay the price.
Congressman, I know it's still a long campaign road to go, but we'll be checking in with you along the way, and we thank you very much for your time today.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, now a candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in the state of Michigan. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.